it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into Soccer Matters on tonight, our best of version show. I'm Glenn Davis. The show is always presented by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. John Daspit and his firm of personal injury attorneys, they're going to handle your case and fight for your right for compensation. Tonight, Eric Quill, a former Houston area youth product, former pro, will join the show as he now heads up New Mexico United in the USL Championship. I also recap the Dynamo Santos match, a very entertaining match from Tuesday's League Cup, and additional interviews tonight from our best of archives. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started.
Here is how it sounded on our game call of the Dynamo and Santos Laguna in the League's Cup match here this past Tuesday on ESPN 97.5.
It's game on here in Houston. League's Cup. Hector Herrera knocks it forward to Carrasquilla. The Houston Dynamo in orange, Santos Laguna in the green and white stripes. It is Mexico against the United States. It is Liga MX against MLS. Position it how you want. This should be a good one. No look pass into Coco Carrasquilla, top of the box here. Here's Baird. We'll get a shot off. It scores. Corey Baird. Unbelievable start here for the Dynamo. That is precision finishing, and 14 minutes in, the Houston Dynamo grabbed the game's first goal, maybe slightly, against the run of play. It is 1-0. Herrera switches a point of attack. He is on here tonight against the Liga MX side. Here's Dorsey. Dorsey, shot the goal! Oh, what a goal from Griffin Dorsey! It's goal number two for Houston. Carbon copy of his hit against LAFC last year. And Dorsey continues his run of good form. 2-0 Houston Dynamo. Rodriguez has beaten. Oh, it's a big chance. Preciado shot the goal. Santos is back in it. It's 2-1. We're going to get it on the stroke of halftime. The Colombian Harold Preciado, who had 15 goals last year, scores a momentum-grabbing goal here for Santos. It's Preciado against Clark. Preciado, 2-2. Santos fans go wild. Preciado's penalty, side-footed to the left of Clark. Raul Lopez, the right back, crosses himself. Lopez, blow it over the top. The Dynamo are going to win this. The Dynamo win it in penalties against Santos. They live and breathe on in the League's Cup.
Glenn Davis here as we continue on with Soccer Matters presented by the Daspit Law Firm. That was entertainment Tuesday night. I don't think there was any question. One of the most entertaining five-star entertainment matches we have seen this year at Shell Energy Stadium. Dynamo and Santos Laguna in the League's Cup. And the fact that it was a Liga MX team in, I think, brought an additional feel to it, an additional uniqueness with the League's Cup. And then the Dynamo ultimately winning 5-4 on penalties. And fans these days, I think, just love penalties. Didn't technically win the game. It was a draw. But you needed the win in penalties to gather the 2 points. Now you go to a full three and you lie in wait to see what happens with Orlando City and Santos. But the Dynamo in a good position right now. Now we'll get into the penalty kicks in a little while because the Dynamo were perfect from the spot. But this had the MLS versus Liga MX feel. I'd like that part of it. Two teams with very differing styles of play, serving up a great one for those that made it out. Santos fans repped in a great way in the green and white. It's just so cool to see an opposing team and their support coming into the stadium. Stadium was only about one third full. The acoustics made it feel like there's more in attendance as always. So here was Santos, 1-1-1, three matches into their season in Liga MX, the Dynamo on break now, currently occupying the ninth and final playoff spot. Remember, the Dynamo had to flip this around from Saturday. Quick turnaround. They were a home team. Santos isn't. They had to travel in from Mexico. But the Dynamo, again, come out of this positioned well. And we'll have to wait until Saturday, Santos-Orlando City match, to see what looks like will happen. But next week, Dynamo could be back in action in League's Cup. That is the hope. So Santos comes in, a lot of history. And if you go deep in their history, you go back to, you know, I go back to the days of Pony Ruiz, the Chilean playmaker, and Jared Borghetti. But the Dynamo, in their history, have played against Santos a number of times, losing down in Mexico 3-0, but winning here in Houston 1-0 in CONCACAF. And then it was also a Charities Cup match. So there was history. The big buildup was Juan Bruneta, their playmaker in midfield, number 10. Very good player. He's in his third year at Santos, played at Parma. We saw him tonight. There was a concern around him, no question about it. And then Harold Preciado, who had both of their goals. Big banging type, consistent goal scorer, had 15 for them last year. And he had both their goals, including hitting the penalty spot during the game. And then also one of the penalties to determine who picked up the 2 points. Good team, very differing team. They did have a direct nature to them going to Preciado up front, which meant that there were second balls that got to be dealt with. Brunette is kind of a late runner into the box. I didn't think he had the influence maybe he wanted in this game. Two big center backs in Felix Torres and Doria. Just two hitters, two pounders, two traditional type defenders. Doria, the Brazilian. And then Felix Torres played in the World Cup for Ecuador. There's a lot of good players on this team. Two outside backs that like to get forward, Raul Lopez and Omar Campos. And then Emerson Rodriguez, who had this great one-on-one battle going with Griffin Dorsey. These two guys were just going at it. I thought that was just a wonderful kind of game within the game going on in this one. So that's what you had with Santos coming in. The Dynamo remained with the same four players at the back. Dorsey had an outstanding game against Orlando City. I think had another very, very good game. He is really the lone guy bringing width to the Houston Dynamo right now. And I think their attack lacks that. I've said that consistently. And it may not be as big a concern based on the way they want to play. They want to play a narrow game. And they do have a midfield with Hector Herrera, Amin Bassi, Artur, Coco Carrasquilla. That can play a narrow game, can play the 1-2s, can break people down. In fact, the Dynamo scored one of their goals like that. And the Dynamo also scored one of their goals through wide play. And that was Griffin Dorsey, who just bent in a beautiful ball. So up front, you had starting the game, Corey Baird moving to the left. Nelson Quiñones had a hamstring injury. Aliu Ibrahim starting in the middle, and then Coco Carrasquilla, who drifted central a lot on the night, and he did that, and that allowed Dorsey to get forward. So, you know, interesting dynamics to this one. Two very differing teams. The Dynamo wanted to possess the game, control the tempo more through their midfield, which, by the way, this is the most talented overall midfield the Houston Dynamo have ever had. We have not aesthetically seen a midfield play this type of soccer, simply because you got ball players in there, guys that are really good on the ball, can turn and get out of pressure. This is not being disrespectful to any of the other past Dynamo teams. They were just different makeups, different types of midfields. This is a midfield that loves playing in tight spaces. You can see Hector Herrera loves being, you know, in a more creative mold here in Houston. I think that's why he absolutely, you know, is enjoying his game, because it's a different game that he played at an Atletico Madrid, where you're constrained and you're not allowed to really kind of let loose, as in the case of Hector Herrera. So I think from that standpoint, he's truly enjoying the game and leading and orchestrating. Now, he was outstanding in the first 45 minutes. He did hit the wall in the second half. You could see it. He gave some balls away, which is uncharacteristic for him. And then he started just drifting deeper, closer to the Santos goal. And I think that was good, because he was gassed. He needed some other people to do some running for him. And that way, if he got the ball in a high area of the field, he can still pull off the magical play. And we know Herrera has been doing that. So it was fun to watch a lot of the small give and goes, the 1-2s. And this is the kind of soccer that can attract the international soccer fan, right? Technical game. So two differing teams and differing styles made this, for me, a really, really interesting and a fun game to be a part of, not only as a commentator, but just from the standpoint of a spectator. So Steve Clark had a big night as well. Got to really give him credit, made some incredibly important saves. 14th minute, it was Corey Baird. Not even sure that Corey was going for goal, to be honest with you. I thought it might have been a pass. Karaskia's touch went long. It looked like a pass from him to Corey. Corey flicked it with the outside of his foot. Doesn't matter. Goes in. Important goal, 14th minute. 26th minute, he only had to wait 12 minutes. Dorsey cuts in on his left. This is a spectacular goal. I mean, phenomenal individual piece. Reminded me of the goal he scored against LAFC, kind of a carbon copy. Griffin Dorsey has worked on becoming more sophisticated with his delivery. It's evident. He hung a ball up in the second half that Aliyu Ibrahim should have scored. Defender came behind the goalkeeper, and it was headed off the line. But Griffin Dorsey, you really got to give him credit. And he's really a viable option. I'm surprised that in some of these games he didn't get a run earlier this year. But he's 2-for-2 in the League's Cup. And he's staking a claim to more playing time, and he's staking a claim in such a big way that you're moving the outside back that was brought in to replace him in Franco Escobar to left back. So do with that what you want. Killer, though, was in the 45th minute. Preciado in the first half would score and make it 2-1. It would bring Santos back into it, brought their fans back into it. 63rd minute, he times a run beautifully. He was not offside. We saw the video. And the momentum of Mikael, he gets between him and the ball and takes the contact, goes down, hits the penalty in the 63rd. Now it's 2-2. And the Dynamo are fading a little bit. They do have the occasional threat, but they are fading. They are under a lot of pressure. They do get a couple of chances, definitely in the second half. But it really looked like Santos was going to win this game. The Dynamo were hanging on. And then you get the penalties. And it's pretty interesting because all four players that were brought on for the Dynamo were successful taking penalties. Thor, Franco, Smith, Casado. Bossy remained on in this game. Now, he was taken off in the last one against Orlando City. Hector Herrera went first. This time, Bossy went first. I mean, he's a remarkable penalty taker. And it's just, like, so effortless. So they hit all five of theirs. Raul Lopez steps up in the bottom of the fifth round, blows it over the top. The Dynamo get the 2 points. They needed minimum 2 points in this game. And they got them. Full-time stats in this. And I want to go into these because they're interesting. So look at the discrepancy here in possession. 61% for the Houston Dynamo, 38% for Santos. Yet Santos had more crosses, 20, because their game was more direct. The Dynamo had 13 crosses. Santos had more chances created, 12-9. Final third entries, though, because of the possession-based Dynamo and how good that Dynamo midfield is in getting the ball forward and getting into the final third, the Dynamo had 55 final third entries to 36. Now, you would think that would bring you more corners, right? No, you only had 2 corners the whole night. You had 9 for Santos. Santos had more shots, 19-12. Dynamo had more shots on goal, 5-4. So, you know, the data and the stats doesn't always quantify what exactly went on. We saw two teams playing the game differently and two teams that, no question, found ways to be dangerous. Now, I'll go back to the Dynamo. Not earning a lot of corners means you're not getting to the end line enough. Means you also might not have the wide game that you need. The Dynamo may be okay with that. I wouldn't be okay with that because I want Hector Herrera taking corners for my team and as many dead balls as possible. Dorsey, like I said, brought most of the width, and I do believe he earned one or maybe both of the corners by driving the ball forward down the right side. So that's interesting stuff from the standpoint of data. Now, I'm going to say this. With that many, you know, nine chances created and getting into the final third 55 times, they have a problem scoring goals right now, the Dynamo. And you can't count on Corey Baird, and you can't count on Griffin Dorsey every game to score goals. Will Aliyu Ibrahim emerge? And it's a bit tough for him because the Dynamo are a narrow team. They are pretty inverted. Even when their outside back on the left gets forward, Franco Escobar, he's cutting the ball in. So he's pulling people into the middle towards Aliyu. He's not getting out to the touchline, pulling people away from the middle of the field and penalty area where Aliyu Ibrahim has to operate. He doesn't have a lot of space. We're not seeing a lot of those, you know, those earlier type runs we got from him where he's running the channels a little bit more. And we're not seeing him and Nelson Quiñones really use their pace to really break away from people a couple times, not enough. And Quiñones obviously was injured in this one with the hamstring. So it's almost like the system in a way might negate a little bit that pace that has been brought in. Just my thoughts. Doesn't mean I'm right. Just my thoughts. Now, the Dynamo have not won since June 21st. That's seven games. Coming into this one in three games, they had a penalty kick goal. That was it. So the need for goals and to complement all this good midfield play, getting into the final third, you need a finisher. And the hopes is, and you have to be fair here, these are very young guys in Quiñones. Quiñones doesn't have a history of scoring a lot of goals. Aliyu Ibrahim scored some goals in the Croatian first division. But that, to me, has to be a concern. And with Sebas Ferreira off to Vasco da Gama, it's not official yet, at least at the time of this taping. It's not official. You know, he's excess. I mean, he needs to go play somewhere. Good on the Dynamo for getting them to Vasco da Gama. But he has not been a tactical fit. I think that's pretty clear. I mean, you've heard Ben Olsen talk about the type of striker he wants. You heard Pat Onstad talk about the type of striker they want. And it's not fitting into the tactics of the coach. Coach has the prerogative. Now, I understand why you're out there going, well, you know, he scored 13 goals last year. This is what happens when there's coaching changes in professional sports. Every coach has their own ideas on how they want to play. That's their prerogative. That's why they're hired. Pat Onstad was a big purveyor of Sebas Ferreira. He made it very clear it was Ben Olsen's choice to design the tactics and make the personnel moves. So it's pretty simple. I mean, for all of you who seem to be confused, don't be confused. It's pretty simple. By the way, the penalty taking was unbelievable. Bossy Thor, Franco Smith, Casado, wonderful penalties. Brunetta, Prosciato, Doria Torres hit. By the way, that's two center backs taking penalties for Santos, Doria and Torres. And then Raul Lopez blew his over the top. So really hoping the Dynamo are going to advance. It was a fun game to call. It was a great night. I thought it was wonderful entertainment between the two teams. And here's to more in the League's Cup and the Dynamo advancing, because the Dynamo do not want to take 3 weeks off before playing their next MLS game. They want to make sure that they can stay in a rhythm, and you do that by continuing on in the League's Cup. So I'm enjoying it so far. I hope you are as well, and I know a ton of people enjoyed the Manchester United-Real Madrid game as well on Wednesday night. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to keep going here. Thank you for tuning in, as always, here tonight. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. They are bilingual. You get in an accident, nervous time, no fun, fender benders, whatever it is. You might be in a boat accident, motorcycle. You might work construction. Maybe you drive an 18-wheeler. These are not easy jobs. You get in an accident, you need to fight for your right for compensation, and you need someone to do it for you. It's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are the best in personal injury attorneys. 713-CALL-NOW, bilingual. We'll take a break. We have more to come. People know just what they'd like to do.
ESPN 97.5 on FM radio. AM is stupid.
Got him.
610, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. In Houston, 713-CALL-NOW. In Austin, 512-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are bringing soccer to you on the airwaves. Get in a car, boat, motorcycle, accident. You need the best. It is John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. In Austin, 512-CALL-NOW. In Houston, 713-CALL-NOW. This is a great local story because our next guest, Houston area youth product, went on to play professionally in Major League Soccer, got into the coaching side of things after his playing career, recently got named the New Mexico United USL Championship head coach. They're coming off a 3-0 win over Sacramento. They are 4-1-2 since he took over, and they have now climbed in the Western Division when it comes to their standings. He is Eric Quill. Many of you will know him, and he joins us now. Eric, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure, Glenn. Always fun to speak to you.
Yeah, it's good. All right, 4-1-2 since taking over. Before we get into the current form of the team, last we knew, you were assistant coach in Columbus. That ended with Caleb Porter being moved on. This opportunity, how did it arrive? How'd you decide to take it, and how quick of a kind of run has this been for you?
Yeah, it was really kind of a surprise out of nowhere. I got a text from an unknown number and asking me if I'd be interested in a USL championship head coaching job. And, of course I'm interested and wanted to know more. So I called the number back because I didn't have it saved. And it was a sporting director here, Itamar Kainen. And we started talking, and he asked if I'd be willing to sort of formally interview because they had a head coach that was going to leave on for a better opportunity. And so he was going to look to try to, find somebody pretty quickly. So we started the interview process pretty much right away. And I had known about New Mexico United from, I've kind of been watching him from a distance. A couple years ago when I was in Dallas, they played FC Dallas in the Open Cup and was successful against Dallas. And so really kind of put them on the map in my mind. And I just kind of been paying attention from afar. And so then studying the club and, you see this fan support here. The state is just really bought into the team here and they support it. If you watch any of the games, it's amazing the support they get. So I came and watched the game and I was part of the sort of the fan experience. And that's what sold me was, coming to see a live game and seeing the atmosphere. I just knew it was a place that I wanted to be and wanted to help.
Eric Quill taking over for Zach Prince, New Mexico United. All right, so you get there. What's the first order of business? I mean, are you bringing in any staff members or is it you currently, you just work with the staff that you inherit there after Zach Prince leaves?
Yep. I mean, we kept staff and they're great. And I feel very lucky about the staff because they're just amazing soccer minds and people. So I really lucked out and the environment I've joined. Just basically more me adapting to them than them adapting to me. Season has already been going and my staff knows this roster better than I do. I mean, I obviously studied a bit before I took the job, but I really relied a lot on them to sort of, help me kind of get my feet under me. And we're doing well right now and we're hoping to keep it going, but it's an everyday process and you got to kind of keep invested in.
For the listeners, Eric also was at North Texas FC, as you remember, in the FC Dallas organization. And again, came over from the Columbus Crew, this after a long playing career in Major League Soccer and places like Kansas City with the Wizards. All right, so you get in there. How much do you change? I mean, mentality, tactics, personnel. I get that you're listening to the guys that have been around these players. But, you know, what type of an impact can a coach have right away? Obviously, everybody's got to, you know, set their flag in the ground with the new coach's eyes on them. But, you know, what do you do? Mentality, tactics, personnel?
The personnel was, I mean, again, that's one of the reasons why I took the job, was seeing the personnel. Was there's some really quality players here. So I felt like it needed a, you know, sort of a style of play model. I think they were pretty direct and not a lot of, you know, intricacies in the, with the ball. So I really wanted to kind of change our identity with the ball, and create more freedom and creativity and then more structure and discipline without the ball. So we've really kind of created some real good discipline, you know, when we don't have it, and playing to player strengths, knowing, you know, getting used to the roster is putting these guys in positions that they'll be successful. And then, you know, again, you know, as you know, like myself, when you play free and you feel, like you can make mistakes and it's not going to be, you know, these guys are willing, we're willing to allow mistakes, but it's our discipline when we lose it, you know, how we get behind it. But these guys are coming up with ideas now, and there's some really good football that we're growing into week to week. So I'm excited about where we are, but I'm really more excited about where we're going.
Looked at the Sacramento highlights, Eric, and it looked, the environment just looked great. 3 goals. You beat a very, very good team. Amando Moreno has a goal and an assist. I'm reading the quotes from the players to your statement that you just made about players feeling free and enjoying the game more. You hear a lot of that coming from them. That doesn't mean you can necessarily do that. You felt you had the right players to be able to do that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so I get a lot of great veterans here that have been around a while, along with a good combination of young players coming up. And so it's a really well-balanced roster of guys committed, guys that have championship backgrounds to them in USL. So feel really lucky with the character we have in our locker room. And so I just needed to kind of feed their spirit and, you know, help change a couple things, and we're rolling right now. So but it's always, like you said, like, you know, it can change on a dime. So we've got to really keep the mentality right. The mentality piece is crucial if you want something in the end. So we have our eyes on a prize, and we want to work every day to get there. And the intensity in our training environment's picked up, and the guys welcome that. Our staff has welcomed that. And it's just when you have these things clicking and the buy-in, it makes the job really fun.
He's Eric Quill. He's from the Houston area. Not only went on to play in Major League Soccer, but has really put together a great body of work from a coaching perspective, starting with youth soccer right on up to North Texas and player development at that level, and MLS associated with FC Dallas, on to being an assistant coach at Columbus, now heading up New Mexico United in the USL Championship, who are on the rise. They're 4-1-2 under Eric. At this time, let's talk about the environment, because even prior to you being there, I always just kind of love this thing going on in New Mexico, averaging 10,000 plus last year. There is a lot of community engagement, a lot of state engagement, and then a really cool stadium. They call it the Lab. It's a minor league baseball stadium, but it's actually a really cool environment. Just take us into all that and what you've experienced so far.
Well, it's just unique how the whole state gravitates towards New Mexico United. You have people that travel long distances to be at the games. It doesn't matter if it's a Wednesday night or a Saturday. They're coming out 10 plus every game. So it's just, when you're in the stadium, these guys aren't just sitting there idle in their seats. We've got the curse behind the goal that is rowdy all game long. Fan engagements, they're into it. They're soccer knowledgeable. So it makes, you know, 90 plus minutes of the game just really enjoyable and adrenaline rushed, because you see the passion that they cheer with and they root with. I can't imagine what the players feel, because I'm just a coach on the sideline. I don't get to touch the ball. But from a coach's perspective, it's a lot of fun coming out of that tunnel and seeing the fan engagement.
Is it a good, healthy pressure that you would want for your players? Do you feel that? Because that's a necessary ingredient, right?
100%. I mean, especially with young players coming in and the veterans obviously are used to playing in front of crowds, but the young ones, this is where their real development happens when the pressure's on the line with a rowdy crowd, and having to deliver. So, from that standpoint, we're really a unique environment for development for young players. Because, like I said, the fans want to see a great product on the field, and they deserve that. And so we're really blessed to have such a fan engagement. So these players, these young guys are really sort of starstruck when they walk out for the first time and get that engagement, but they're going to grow. These guys don't know it yet, but they're going to grow at fast rate. And that's the expectation.
He's Eric Quill. He is the head coach of New Mexico United. So that's a really interesting thing to me, because as MLS Next is kicked off, I notice a lot of these games are really just played in front of staff. They're not played in front of big crowds. You don't have the element that you have at New Mexico United of a real crowd in the USL Championship and, 10,000 plus people. Is that something, having been on both sides of this, Eric, that, I'm not trying to sound the alarm bell here, but is that something that you think is missing from MLS Next? That's a pretty important ingredient when it comes to player development.
I do. I think anybody would tell you the same, even guys working in the MLS Next environment. While it's a great league, it's a very technical league. The pressure of a crowd, you can't simulate with noise on a speaker. I mean, it's something you have to have. It's just like repetition in soccer. It's basically putting yourself in a stressful environment over and over again, and you're going to grow. You're going to sink or swim. And so I think that is an ingredient missing that's important. But the league is obviously very great with young talent. But it's a debatable argument on whether or not there's still a big gap between, that environment and what USL Championship provides because of the fan engagement. So, I typically sit on the side of guys learning to play in front of crowds and having pressure on them. But there's positives and negatives to both. But I just really enjoy this environment for our young guys.
Eric Quill joining us, coach of New Mexico United USL Championship. Well, having been on both sides of it, I mean, just assess level of play in MLS Next to USL Championship.
Well, you have men that have put in a lot of years under their belt, and they have, and the athleticism and the speed and the mentality is very, very high here in USL Championship, and the desire to win is very high, and it's becoming more technical, to be honest. I think if you look at the league compared to 5-10 years ago, there's some really good footballing teams out here, and they have a lot of talent, and they're getting better and better. So I think more and more teams are playing a better brand. But the 27, 28, 29 is still, I mean, these guys have families, they got mouths to feed. And so there's some pressure that goes with that. And these guys deliver on a daily basis. These guys are super professional. They understand what it takes to win and be a champion. And so it's a very high level environment for these guys, especially our young guys coming into and getting to learn on a daily basis from these guys that have been around doing it for a while. So I really like this league. I think it's getting more and more technical, but it's got great speed and athleticism and transition games at a high level. So it's providing pretty much everything you can ask for.
And Eric, you just touched on another piece that maybe MLS Next doesn't get as much, that older, hungry 28-year-old. Obviously some players are dropping down to get back and regain fitness on two teams or second teams. But, I mean, that's the other beauty of a young player being in the USL Championship, right, is the fact that they are going up against hardened veterans that are trying to make ends meet, work in life, raise families, and be a professional soccer player.
Yeah, it's probably the second part that ingredient missing is these guys have desire behind them, like I said, because of the families, because of the years of experience, and you know, as your clock is ticking, you want to try to grab as much, you know, as many trophies as possible before you have to hang them up. And so that when that end is in sight, it's a real, it motivates you to come to work every day to enjoy, you know, the blessings you have to play this game. And our guys don't take that for granted.
Yeah, we don't ever forget that. It's what a privilege to be involved. Your whole life has been about the game of soccer. I mean, from growing up in Houston, playing on youth soccer fields all over the area, your whole life. I mean, the fire got lit under you as a young kid, didn't it?
It did. I tell people in its simplest form, I've been obsessed with a round ball my whole life. And it's given me everything I could ever ask for in this life. And so I really want to make the most of it every day. I don't take it for granted, and I still enjoy it like a kid at age of 45 right now. So I love my profession. I love the people that I get to interact with in the profession every day. And that's just, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Eric, before I let you go, I just want to retell the story of you identifying Chris Richards in Alabama. You brought him to Houston for a year with the Texans when you were working at the youth level, and then you moved him on to FC Dallas. And now to see him, you know, playing over in England and representing the U.S. national team and being a good bet for the 2026 World Cup. I mean, that's got to bring it kind of full circle for you, doesn't it?
It feels like it was yesterday, to be honest. But what a story! What a great kid! What an athlete! What a footballer! I saw all those things in him immediately. And then what's even more impressive is the human being side of Chris Richards is top level as you can get. So this kid's worked as hard as anybody. He's a great person. Deserves everything he's gotten. He's worked to get there. He's going to continue to grow. I got a chance to see him go over to England and watch Crystal Palace in this last season. And so I'm just really proud of who he's become on both sides of the game. It's just, you know, inside the lines and outside. He's a beautiful person.
Amazing where this game has taken you as well. Next up for you is Orange County in the USL Championship, who've won 4 out of their last 5. What type of team are they?
They're impressive, man. They've got both sides of the ball going, and they're especially with the attack, they're dangerous. So we've got to really get our game plan right, get our guys motivated just on the road. So every, you know, road games are always, you know, difficult. So, but we're hoping to, again, we don't want to change our mentality. It's more about us and keep an aggressive mindset, keep playing downhill. We don't take our foot off the gas for anybody. And so we want to, that mentality will stay with us all year long, no matter who the opponent is. So we feel good about where we are, but we have to respect each opponent.
He's Eric Quill. Next up will be Orange County. Then it's on to Hartford Athletic. And then back home, you'll take on San Antonio FC, who many of us are very familiar with in the state of Texas. Eric, a big thank you for doing the interview. Also, best of luck this coming weekend and in the future. And thanks, as always, for coming on.
Thanks, Glenn, for having me. Anytime, brother.
All right, that's Eric Quill, Houston area youth product, on to great things, both as a professional player and now as a professional coach in the USL Championship. We'll take a break here. DaspitLaw.com, presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters.
ESPN 97.5.com, Fighter of the Night, man.
You're a master of karate, a friendship for everyone. Damon!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, our best of version. Now, you often see me sporting the Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats, but did you know when you purchase them at LamontBrands.com, you're aiding the fight against pediatric cancer? So get your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats, LamontBrands.com. All proceeds to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. Wear it with pride. Soccer Matters, you know that?
What a treat it is here. We will call him a Dynamo legend. The word legend gets thrown around a little bit freely sometimes. In this case, 100%. He is Oscar Boniac Garcia, and he joins us now. Oscar, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's wonderful to see your smile via Zoom here.
You're welcome.
Let's just talk about retiring. I mean, how difficult was this? How did you come to the decision?
La verdad que fue un tema ya hablado con la familia desde el año anterior, donde teníamos la decisión tomada de que iba a ser mi último torneo en Honduras y luego posteriormente regresar a Houston a estar más con la familia.
Glenn, this is a decision that we took almost a year ago as a family, one where we were able to just kind of look at, you know, what the future was, and I think we all came to the same conclusion that I had one more year that I wanted to play in Honduras and then come back and just spend more time with the family, be more present, and that's how we got here.
Now you, I mean, it's remarkable. You're 38 years old. The extension of your career, the way you took care of yourself, I always said it over the years you were here, how professional you were on, off the field, in every moment of your life. How important is that for a footballer?
Creo que lo primordial siempre fue la disciplina. Creo que cuando mantuve una disciplina aceptable, creo que eso me llevó a tener una carrera bastante larga, a mantenerme en óptimas condiciones y el poder competir al lado de cada, ya sea jugador joven o experimentado, el poder trabajar duro y expresarle mi trabajo al jugador joven que viera mi esfuerzo cada día.
Glenn, it was all about discipline, whether it was playing with younger players or playing with individuals who are much more experienced, that didn't change. And if anything, that's what I try to pass on to the next generation, that discipline will get you far in this career. It definitely played a key role in how I ended up getting to be able to enjoy this sport for as long as I did.
World Cups and Olympics, you've played in these. This is remarkable stuff. This is rarefied air for any athlete. Can you maybe put into words what it meant to represent your country in a World Cup and in an Olympics?
Bueno, en las Olimpiadas no tuve participación, pero sí en la Copa Mundial creo que fue un orgullo para mí el haber estado representando a mi país, el haber estado ahí, cantar el himno, el jugar, creo que fue bastante importante a lo largo de mi carrera el haber disputado dos mundiales.
Glenn, there's definitely no better joy than those two World Cups where I was able to sing the national anthem, play and represent my country. Those are the things that stick with you throughout your career. Those are the moments that you definitely remember. So when I look back at my career, there's great pride and joy in being able to present my country on that stage in those two tournaments.
Was that your famous moment in football, being at the pinnacle, being at the World Cup?
Sí, la verdad que para todo futbolista, creo que el llegar al mundial es una consagración, una graduación del poder disfrutar un mundial, y para mí fue algo memorable el haber estado en dos mundiales.
Absolutely, Glenn. I think every single footballer, you ask them about where they want to play, what kind of goals they have. The World Cup, it's at the top of the list. So for me, there's definitely nothing better than being able to represent my country at those two tournaments.
Oscar Boniac Garcia joining us here on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Plays professionally till the age of 38, started with Olympia in Honduras, had a brief loan at Marathon, came to the Houston Dynamo, played more games in his career with the Dynamo than even Olympia, 235 with 13 goals. Oscar, the way you planned out your career was pretty good because you started with Olympia, you were able to end with them. How much thought went into that?
Bueno, para empezar, en Marathon no play. No jugué en Maratón, solo jugué en Real Maya, Olimpia y Houston Dynamo. Y creo que fue algo bastante importante el haber iniciado una carrera grandiosa que me dio a conocer Olimpia. Luego, posteriormente, me dio la oportunidad de salir a Houston Dynamo. De Houston Dynamo me abrió las puertas nuevamente a Olimpia y después me retirar de la mejor manera con ellos siendo campeón.
Glenn, I think when I kind of look at the trajectory, I mean, I've only played for a handful of teams, Olympia being one where I found success. They paved the path for me to get to the Dynamo. I was able to, you know, have my time here. A lot of memories, a lot of moments where that, you know, those various kind of circumstances kind of stick with me. And then when I kind of look at the twilight of my career, being able to go back, they received me with open arms. and then being able to leave with a title, I don't think you can paint it in any better way.
Oscar Boniac Garcia joining us. By the way, 134 caps for Honduras, 3 goals. I was at the game when Honduras was playing El Salvador, and I think Dominic Kinnear, the head coach of the Dynamo, was there, and I spoke with him, and he was there to scout another player, but everybody was talking about this winger named Oscar Boniac Garcia, and he ended up being a Houston Dynamo. So I think, I don't know who Dom came to see initially, but the Dynamo got a great one in Oscar Boniac Garcia. Did Olympia have a special night for you, you know, when you announced your retirement? And like you said, what a way to end winning the title.
Bueno, respecto a hablar sobre un partido de retirada, creo que, perdón, mi sueño es hacerlo Olympia Houston. Esperemos en un futuro te pueda dar ese partido. Y bueno, realmente el técnico de Olimpia no le esperaba que me fuera a retirar, pero ya era una decisión tomada. El club lo tomó de la mejor manera. Ellos querían que siguiera 6 meses, pero bueno, ya había tomado la decisión de dejar el fútbol.
Glenn, so no official talks ongoing yet, but for me, the dream kind of retirement or homage would definitely be Dynamo against Olimpia in a friendly. Being able to take part in something like that here down in the future. So we'll start looking at that here relatively soon. But I think overall, when I was having these conversations with them, they were very receptive. They did want to keep me for about 6 more months. But I told them that at that point, my mind was made up and I was going to go in a different direction.
That I'm all for the Dynamo versus Olympia testimonial game for Oscar Boniac Garcia. And by the way, you get to keep all the receipts from the gate that night, too. I also will put that forward. all right. So and by the way, we're really thankful to Edgar Valise, who's doing the translation here, as always, does a wonderful job. What's next for you, Oscar? I don't see a life without football for you. Is it one day coaching? Do you want to coach youth? Do you want to eventually be a part of a professional setup? Maybe the Dynamo, maybe Olympia. What's next for Oscar Boniac Garcia?
Bueno, en este momento estoy entrenando en la academia con mis hijos. Estamos entrenando ahí, estoy apoyándolos ahí, ayudándolos tanto a ellos como al equipo. Estoy empezando a formarme también. Estoy empezando a crear una fundación Boniac. Que se trata de ayudar a crecer a los jugadores desde pequeña edad hasta un crecimiento aceptable, ayudarle en el crecimiento futbolístico.
Glenn, I think that as of right now, that's still being decided, but I think I'm pretty much will be definitely affiliated with the game in some form or fashion. Currently, actually, I am coaching my kids at the Houston Football Association, and you know, That's definitely one way to stay in the game. I think another way is I'm really proud of this, that I am starting my own foundation, the Boniac Foundation, and our goal there is to pave the path for young kids to be exposed to the game, get to know the game, and have the resources that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise, and kind of maybe be able to grow it even further.
Oscar Boniac Garcia, former Houston Dynamo, Olympia, Honduran national team joining us. I always knew that you were conscious of what was going back on in your country with youth. I saw that from you earlier in your career when you were here in Houston. How did you get to that point of wanting to make sure that you didn't forget where you came from?
Siempre creo que fue bastante importante el tener acercamiento con mi gente en Honduras, siempre con el respaldo de Houston Dynamo, siempre con el apoyo de ellos. Y siempre que tuve el apoyo de ellos, pues yo también pude expresar mi solidaridad con mi pueblo.
Glenn, it was definitely important to me when I was here to have that connection back home. I was grateful that I had the support of the team, the organization to do that and double our efforts, essentially. So grateful for that. And in terms of just having that connection, I mean, that's never left. You know, one of the reasons I was wanting to go back is just that connection was always there. So very important to me and very grateful to be able to do this more so now.
Family's always important. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I remember doing an interview with you many years ago where you spoke very highly of your mother.
Sí, realmente que mi madre fue la persona más importante a lo largo de mi carrera. El apoyo que me brindó siempre fue importante, siempre estuvo en todo momento apoyándome y creo que fue algo bastante importante a lo largo de mi carrera. También incluyo a mi esposa, que fue parte fundamental de esta larga carrera, que estuvo ahí en los momentos duros, siempre apoyándome. Creo que fueron bastante importantes estas dos personas para mí.
Absolutely, Glenn. She was pivotal to my career. She's probably one of the most important people in getting me to get to this point, to be able to enjoy the career as long as I did. Additionally, I would add my wife to that, just because she was also there for me throughout the ups and the downs of this difficult career and always supporting me. So I would definitely say that both of those individuals were massive in terms of just how I was able to sustain the career that I did.
Former Houston Dynamo Oscar Boniek-Garcia joining us, over 100 caps for Honduras, well over 200 games for the Houston Dynamo. Oscar, when I look at your career and all the directions it's gone in, and then I put into the category Minor Figueroa, Albert Elise, Kyoto, do you feel proud that you helped to bring MLS to the attention of Honduran football fans?
No, realmente que la Liga MLS ha crecido bastante y va a seguir creciendo. Creo que el haber hecho una larga carrera aquí, el haber mostrado y el haber abierto puertas para el futbolista hondureño, creo que eso me llena de orgullo y de bastante importancia, porque sé que, quieras o no, con mi presencia aquí en la MLS, muchos equipos echaron sus ojos para Honduras para poder traer jugadores también destacables para aquí, para la liga, y que puedan rendir al máximo.
Glenn, I definitely take a lot of pride in that. It's incredible just to see how much the league has grown recently. So to play a role in that and to have, I guess, certain moments also where I could say that, you know, we definitely did pave the way and open door for the next generation of Honduras to enjoy and kind of be able to play in this league is definitely something that's gratifying, just because there's so much talent down there and very grateful to play a role in that with my time here in Houston.
Being gone a couple years, does anything look different in this league when it comes to the play on the field?
Mucho, mucho. La verdad que ha crecido bastante. Hasta me atrevo a decir que hoy por hoy estamos arriba de la Liga Mexicana. Se ha demostrado tanto a nivel de equipo como a nivel de selección que ha sobrepasado la MLS en ese sentido.
Glenn, I'd say it's very different. It's grown so much. I think when you kind of look at the infrastructure, the facilities, and now more so the talent, I think we surpass what you see in Mexico with that league over there, and that, you know, they just have so much history and that traditional component. But I think the way MLS is trending and how the investment has kind of gone forward, I would definitely say that we are, you know, making leaps and bounds in terms of just being able to not just match him, but surpass him as well.
Boniek Garcia joining us here. We're going to wrap this up in a minute or so, but remind people how you got the name Boniek, because it was a very famous Polish footballer. Your father was also a professional soccer player with Olympia.
No, por futbolista famoso polaco, Boniek, Bignik Boniek. Bueno, en sí eran dos nombres que mi papá había mandado para que mi mamá me pusiera. Uno era el brasileño Jairzinho y el otro era Boniek. Y pues a mi mamá le encantó más Boniek y pues con él nos quedamos.
My dad gave my mom two choices. It was either going to be this Brazilian player Jairzinho or Boniek, and my mom absolutely loved the name Boniek. So it worked out. He's a famous Polish footballer. And yes, my dad was definitely a big fan of the game. So it worked out. That's how that specific name came to be.
He also, by the way, Boniek played for Juventus, a very famous footballer that he was named after. Well, you absolutely lived up to it. There's no question about that. Will you reside and will you be living in Houston now in the future?
Yes, estoy viviendo aquí con mi familia y pues aquí vamos a quedarnos radicando.
Yeah, this is good news. This is good news. Our community is better with Oscar Boniek Garcia and his family in it. Very much. All right. Last one before I let you go. Should I ever visit Roatan?
Yes. I lo recomiendo. Hermoso.
Highly recommend. You should absolutely go.
Oscar Boniac Garcia for the Honduras Travel Association. We appreciate that comment. Oscar, tremendous stuff. Thank you so much for coming on. It's wonderful to see you. What an amazing career. Everybody honors you for that. And I'm for one. I know most people are. Everybody's ready and excited that you're going to be in Houston.
Muchas gracias, Glenn Davis, siempre por el recibimiento tan agradable que me brinda. Y bueno, estamos para la hora.
Glenn, thank you very much for having me. Definitely grateful for all the experiences we've been able to share and look forward to catching up here shortly.
So that wraps up the first hour of the Best of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Stay with us. We have more to come.
ESPN 97.5.com. I'm hungry.
The Krusty Krab Pizza is the pizza absolutively.